Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbas, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
Tyler is off for the Fan Ski Escape and Steamboat. Hopefully he has a wonderful weekend. Incredible weather. It's Josh McDaniels Day. 9 years ago today, Josh McDaniels was fired. After a Thanksgiving weekend where 30,000 empty seats pervaded Invesco Field, I believe it was at the time. And who knows how many no-shows will happen with the games against Detroit and Oakland in a couple weeks. But never mind. It's at Houston. It's at Kansas City. And we go from there, Nick. Here is the latest from Vic Fangio today about Von Miller.
He might be. I think he's much better than he was last week. But it could be that, yes.
A game time decision. And if he's good?
No, if he's good, he's gone.
Okay. It was interesting to hear Vaughn talk about how difficult it was to miss last week's game.
It was hard. It was extremely hard. Like, I cried real tears, 30-year-old man. It was extremely hard for me. I thought, especially at the beginning of the week and the way that I healed over my career, I thought I was going to be able to, like, put it out there. But MCL is just... It's such an important ligament, and especially with my game. If I was, standing back off of the ball, like if I played D-tackle or something like that, or, inside backer or, anything like that. But all exotic movements, I really couldn't do it. And my game has a foundation in exotic movements. So, I took it all the way up into the deadline and just couldn't do it. And
yeah, it was a bummer. And it actually brings up an interesting point, Nick. Because Vaughn talks about himself being undersized. You don't really think of Vaughn being an undersized guy. But if you were to stack physically Vaughn next to Bradley Chubb...
That's a significant difference between the two players.
You'd see the difference. So the special ability that Vaughn has is his ability to do those Gumby-like movements. Here's the tough question. If you really can't... As Vaughn would call himself, have Vaughn be Vaughn. Why have Vaughn out there?
That's the same question I raised myself. What do you have to gain by putting him out there? You have four games remaining. You're not in the playoffs. And I've seen this happen all the time, whether it is upper management nudging players to go out or players feeling the need to kind of go out there themselves. I mean, I too have put myself in this type of situation looking at my team and saying, hey, my guys need me. But the difference is we were still in the position to win games. And Vaughn is the type of player that relies heavily on his speed. He's not like Bradley Chubb, a bigger guy who likes to use his brute power. When you look at Vaughn, it's about transferring speed to power, using your speed to the low knee bend, turning the corner, running the hoop, as we always talk about, and then press that guy back.
I mean, it's freaky when he's at his best. And he's come off an ACL.
Yes.
But he came off an ACL. Like, he had time to, recover, have the surgery, reshape his body, all that sort of stuff. This is different. He's in the middle of an annoyance, a sprain, a nuisance, something that could, I hope not, but may even lead to something else.
Well, that's the thing that you worry about when you have any kind of injury of a lower extremity. If you have it on the right side, the body's going to try to balance itself. I mean, when you look at Emmanuel Sanders, who's no longer here, he had an ankle injury that no one knew about. And then right after that, it was an Achilles injury. The body was trying to balance itself. You don't want to put yourself in that situation. I can tell you, D-Mac, when I was playing here, we were playing in Kansas City, and I was trying to tackle Dante Hall on the kickoff. That's tough within itself. So as I'm dragging him down, Kelly Herndon dives and hits me right in my MCL.
Mm.
I'm lying on the ground. I'm thinking, okay, my career is done. It felt over.
Like that, huh?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And I got up and I walked towards the sideline, and there was one face that I saw as I was approaching the sideline. It was Mike Shanahan giving me that concerned look.
Mm-hmm.
Should I have gone back out there? Absolutely not. But I played the entire game, and it was really tough because you all you could do is put on a knee brace or a sleeve at that point. And there was a play, you probably can YouTube, you probably seen it. Dante Hall runs back a punt.
Oh, there was like the nine penalties that weren't called that should have been called?
Exactly. So yeah, I was supposed to be the guy on the punt team on the right side. But I had to bow out because, I mean, if you want me to play defense, you got to give me a rest. And he ran back the kick. So Von Miller needs rest because when you have an MCL injury, lateral movement, I mean, you have no confidence.
Yeah, listen, I'm nowhere, obviously, nowhere close to you guys and these guys. But when my meniscus and ACL had to have surgery on it, you know, it gave me some sort of sympathy for what you have to go through. And the craziest thing going through that was balance. I could not believe, and it was so frustrating, even after a long period of time, that I just didn't have the simple amount of balance that I had in my other leg. So never mind doing something extraordinarily athletic. It was hard to just stand on one foot. And of course you don't have the same, I didn't have the same confidence in making certain types of moves. To this day, even now, because I'm a year removed from it, like we've had some icy snow sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I tippy toe across, you know, icy sort of areas.
Like Flintstone tippy toe?
Well, not quite like that. But I'm like ridiculously careful in those situations. Now that's a total ACL meniscus tear. This is an MCL sprain. I had a sprain too when I was in high school, and it really did, after about 10 days, Nick, I actually was okay. Is that what we're talking about here?
No, you got to think he's playing, he will be playing on turf. It's not natural grass.
How long did it take you to feel better after your MCL sprain?
It took at least 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
But I still had to play.
So you went out there anyway.
I went out there anyway.
But you knew you weren't yourself, right?
I mean, yeah, I knew. And a coach once told me that the one thing you never do as a player, you put bad tape out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that tape can be used against you, even if you can say that you were injured.
Correct.
Could the Broncos do that with Von Miller after his contract is up, knowing as though he's given so much to the team? That's a possibility. Because that's leverage.
Leverage. He's in a little bit of a different category there because he's done so much and been Von. I'm not worried about that as much as just how effective would he be playing.
He would not be effective at all.
So what's the point?
Exactly.
Like, why are we even having him out there?
Don't even put him out there because now you're basically playing with, you know, 10 guys.
Yeah, because that's the big question. Like, what is injured Von compared to the player who would be playing in his place? That's the tricky question, isn't it? And whoever that's going to be, Jeremy Itachu?
I mean, at this point,
I know
this
we're
stage,
depleted, but
yeah. I mean, he's going to be that guy. Why risk it?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I think Von's a tough dude, and I think he's got tons of courage, and I have nothing but good words for him. Not only do I not get why, I mean, I get why he wants to because he's an unbelievable competitor, but boy, doesn't it have to be some sort of bigger, you know, 10,000-foot view of this whole thing? I mean, with four games left, don't you really need Von next year?
Yes, this is where Fangio or John Elway has to sit him down and say, I know it's tough for you, but we need you for 2020.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of guys that would be in that conversation. We'll talk about that coming up, but it is time for our mandatory injury report.
It's time for your injury report, presented by Flesh and Beck Law.
Ron Leary is out for the game on Sunday. That means Schlottman will be over there at guard. Malik Reed is questionable. We were talking about, you know, pass rushers and backups for Von. Well, he's one of them. Von Miller is questionable. And Juwan James, unbelievable, is actually being listed as questionable for this game. Can you believe it?
Are you serious?
I kid you not. We'll hear Vic Fangio explain the situation with Juwan James. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
By the way, this doesn't happen often, but on Josh McDaniels Day, 9 years ago today, Josh McDaniels was fired. The Nuggets got David Fizdale fired from the Knicks.
Take that for data.
Gone. I mean, we were talking about the game while we were on the air. Well, boy, oh boy, did the Nuggets pull away. I mean, they had, I think they had nine guys in double digits for points, maybe. And I don't think Jokic did get to double digits, but he was a distributor and rebounder and all that stuff. And they had an unbelievable balance. And they just absolutely stomped the Knicks. And the Knicks have fired Fizdale.
Take that for data.
The Knicks were going to do that anyway.
That's something when you can get a coach fired, though. When you put that final nail in a coffin.
They were already putting things in motion to fire Fizdale. Just the only thing that, I guess, puts the cherry on top was the Nuggets coming there giving them that beatdown.
Dude, you can't. I don't know, man. I don't know how coaches on the edge can get blown out like that at home and get away with it. That's for sure. So, David Fizdale, we
take that for data.
Wish you the best. Tone Loc will find another job somewhere else. I'm sorry. What's that? What's that, Richie?
Fizdale has the worst win percentage in New York Knicks history.
What's that at?
His career win percentage was .202.
How long was he there for?
I'll have to double check exactly how long.
What? Well, maybe two seasons? Possibly? He should have never taken that job.
What? Oh, really? You're going to turn down the head coaching job for the New York Knicks?
Well, I mean, you were set up for failure. I mean, they trade Porzingis. You don't have, you know, any marquee players. You know it's bad, D-Man.
I'll keep rolling with that, like, $6 million a year job or whatever. You get paid there to be the head coach.
When you can't get free agents to come to New York City to Mecca basketball, that's a problem.
21-83 in less than two full seasons.
Take that for data.
That'll get you fired. I mean, how could they do worse? I mean, when you're in a position where the answer to the question is how could you possibly do worse, and the answer is you couldn't, your job's going to be in jeopardy. So we're seeing some things happen. I've got a special message for Rich
Scangarello.
I don't want to say it, but he's,
thank you for not saying.
I got it. I got it coming up. The concept of resting Von Miller. I am curious where you come down on this. I was advocating during Peyton Manning's final year, because I had we all saw what happened in Peyton's third year when the Broncos lost at home to the Colts in the playoffs, and Peyton could have easily scrambled for like 3 yards to pick up a first down. Instead, he tried to make a very difficult pass that didn't work out, and was like, "Wow, are you really physically in a place where you cannot physically or mentally just really seriously like?" Run to, it was like 30 open yards of space. It would have been an easy thing to scramble towards. And the truth was, no, actually he wasn't. Both of his quads were all beat up. Peyton was just, he was hurt, man. He really, really was hurt. And one of the things that I realized going into the next year was the one thing you need is Peyton Manning healthy for the playoffs. Now listen, these are first world problems here, Nick. When you can think about resting, you're so good that you're going to get to the playoffs anyway. And, you know, you should rest one of your star players. Again, first world problems. And there aren't many guys that it applies to. But would players be better off in the long run in football if they were treated the same in football as players in other sports are managed? Meaning, in every baseball season, guys get prescribed rest. Basketball, you see guys, you know, we're going to sit this one out with LeBron tonight. Hockey even has healthy scratches every now and then when it doesn't make much sense. Would guys be better off if there was prescribed rest, meaning you're going to rest, period, no matter what, at some point during the season?
Yes. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Every player would love to have that luxury. But the NFL is different from MLB, the NBA. The only one that remotely compares would be hockey because the physicality of the sport. When we look and we examine every professional sport, hockey and football, tough sports. And in order to do that, if you're trying to do it in hockey, you better make sure you have depth on that roster. If you don't have depth, then you can't do that. That's one of the complications with the situation with Vaughn, right? He feels as though the season and the year hasn't gone the way that he wanted to go for the team and for himself individually. And knowing as though there's four games, you have a rookie quarterback, and Vaughn is on record for saying, hey, I wish I was here. I'm here with the team when Drew Locke gets his opportunity. And knowing as though the kid is going out there by himself in Houston. Yeah, you're part of the team, but you can't really help him the way that you want to.
I understand, too, when coaches say, hey, if you're healthy, let's go. It does feel like John Elway would have to come down and say, no, this is not worth it. Because coaches are desperate. Coaches want to win every single time. Players have pride. They may also have incentives. We don't know that. They may have incentives in their contracts that we're not aware of. I do wonder how it would be if the NFL were to expand to more games. But along with more games was, there's 16 games now. What if it was a 17-game season, right?
Well, you have to expand the roster size then.
Fine. You expand the roster size, but you're only allowed to play in 16 games unless you're a specialist, long snapper, kicker, punter.
So you're saying that the stipulation would be put into place, into policy, that you can only play 16 games.
That's right.
Forcing you to have to sit out one game.
At least. Now, a lot of players, if they have injury, you know, they would just, they miss a game anyways. They'd be covered by that.
But that wouldn't work out well for fans because we're having a problem in basketball with that same thing.
How about this? I see where you're going. I know where you're going really quick. The people that can play all the games, quarterback and specialist. But other than that, everybody's got to take at least one game off, and we're going to have a 17-game season.
But then you're going to have a problem with that. Okay, well, the quarterback's a specialist. They're playing all 17 games, right?
They're allowed to.
Allowed to.
Yeah.
But most of those guys probably won't. They'll probably take a game off if they can, especially against an inferior opponent. But once again, looking at fans who pay an enormous amount for tickets.
Right.
So there's a Christmas Eve game, right? And it's
I would think that a Christmas Eve game, everybody's already had their one game in there.
Okay.
17, how about this? 17-game schedule, two bye weeks. So you're never playing a short week, a Sunday to a Thursday, ever. And you can only play in 16 out of the 17 games. Don't you think we would get a higher quality of football, less injury? And we would see, and they wouldn't be taking games off that late in the season, they would get their one game off at another time.
It sounds great in theory, but, you know, the practical part has flaws because guys get injured. This still is a physical game. So a guy who you might have anticipated sitting out in week six, you now have to play him.
Okay, we expanded the rosters, though.
Okay, now the quality of play goes down because now, let's take a situation that the Broncos found themselves in. No one was high on Brandon Allen like I was, but now you get Brandon Allen inserted into the lineup, and let's say he doesn't play well.
Quarterbacks are an exception. You can play them for every game you want.
You can play them for many games. Okay.
This is coming down because Von Miller, whether he wanted to admit it or not, was helped by not playing last week physically.
Absolutely.
Right? And he probably, let's face it, he probably shouldn't play this week either.
I say sit him down for the remaining of the season.
Well, then if that's the case with Vaughn, don't you think a lot of other players would benefit ultimately from a rest here or there and not have to push themselves? Listen, we'll see what happens. But I think there's going to be a demand for they want to take out preseason games already. You know that, right?
Yes.
And they'll be pressured to put another week in there, which the fans will absolutely love. And if the Super Bowl was played on President's Day weekend and the third weekend of February instead of the first weekend of February, people would love that too.
But here's what you can also add to that, D-Mac. Sitting Von Miller down not only helps him, but it helps some of the other guys who need to get reps. So you can take a glance at him so you know what to do in free agency and draft next year.
Keep your eyes on it. The other sports get this. Football doesn't. Football, NFL is so behind the times on so many things, it's preposterous. We'll see where it goes in the offseason. When we come back, I've got words for your guy. But they're nice words.
I can't wait to hear this.
Sort of. Next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
All right, I'll give you this. Not everybody was down with our fun shenanigans about playing a funeral dirge as soon as I mentioned the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos.
What do you mean, we? Not we, more like you.
All right, fine. You're trying to distance yourself. I see what you're doing. I mean, we came on with your, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You for Rich Gang, the guy.
Yeah.
because you've been over it. It does feel... You do have a personal relationship. And you know what? I do get it. There's like guys I have, I've got personal relationships with and other guys I don't. It's why when you're doing this job, it is a little tricky. I'm not going to lie. If you develop some sort of friendship with a guy, it could definitely bias you. Now, I just don't know Rich S. So I don't know. I think I look at it from a very objective point of view.
I'm looking at it from the same point of view you are looking from it.
Oh, but you know him. Like, you could, like, talk to him and stuff.
I mean, yeah, of course. I work with him, but I just look at it and saying, all things being relative, that the information is not actual factual. He's being blamed or made the scapegoat for a lot of what's happening.
Yeah.
I didn't even say his name. But thank you, Whitney. Sing that song. One fist in the air for Rich Gangarello. I'm riding with you.
Yeah. But I did have to laugh a little bit later because people seem to get like offended that I would, challenge whether a guy should. I don't want anybody to get fired. Why do I want anybody to be fired?
You said you don't care.
Well, I don't care, but that doesn't mean I want somebody to be fired. I get told, this is mind-blowing if you think about it. I get told every day on the text line, Richie can attest to it, how I should end my employment here at good old 104.3 The Fan.
I would go far as to say it's at least once a segment, like once a couple times an hour.
Now, you got to think about this, how this would add up on the good old text line. We have, different lengths of time. 12, 13 segments a day. Let's say 10 to be, just keep it,
a good
around
amount,
number.
Good amount.
So I get told, because it happens once a segment, I get told 50 times a week, at least once, at 50 times a week by a variety of people, how I should be unemployed. Some of the same people over, that's just the text line. Never mind like Facebook or Twitter. Now, on the same vein, there's a lot of compliments that come your way as well.
Of course.
Okay? It's not just one way or the other. So I feel like in light of Mark Schlereth, who just gives apologies away left and right these days, that, if I have to apologize to Rich, first of all, I think he can take it. I think he's got thick skin and he knows what he's signed up for. I don't think he's a babe in the woods. I think he's 47 years old. He's not that young. And these coaches have these nomadic sort of lifestyles anyway. I mean, come on. You were on the inside. You were there in a nomadic lifestyle for a year, right? With the 49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers.
Well, you didn't have a longer than a year contract or anything like that, right? You were kind of touch and go if I'm going to be here or be somewhere else.
Why don't you just read your prepared statement?
Well, I don't have a prepared statement. I'm just saying I don't have anything.
I thought I was like, looking at a prepared statement.
No, I don't. I just...
Sorry.
Right? I could just be like, Mark, and apologize for everything. But maybe I'm framing things more than apologizing things. I don't want him personally to be like, I'm not excited for it to happen. I'm not banging.
You're not advocating for it.
No, definitely not. And there's no doubt that having some sort of consistency is critically important to the development of any team, any offense. And the massive amount of turnover, Nick, we've had here over the years and head coaches and coordinators. I mean, nobody's starting a GoFundMe page for Rick Dennison or Billy Musgrave or Mike McCoy around here. The crazy thing is how much stability the Broncos had relatively under Mike Shanahan for so many years and how crazy it's really been since that time. Eric Studisville was here for like 8 or 9 years and he's just gone one day. And nobody's really, you know, crying over Eric Studisville, who was a fill-in head coach for the Denver Broncos.
Didn't he do that like twice?
Yeah, he's got his face painted. There's a wall of coaches for the Broncos, and Studisville's like face is painted up there inside of the facility.
Can you do me a favor while we discuss this? This is a petition to save Rich Gangarello. Can
to
you be
save
the first?
Him?
Can you be the first person to sign it?
I cannot save. I cannot sign that.
Why
that
can
would
you
be
not?
Disingenuous of me to sign that.
I mean, you're
but I don't because I don't care if they save him or not.
Yeah, but you're not, you know, advocating for him to be fired. So.
I can't sign it. I just can't. I can't sign it.
You're like Switzerland over here. I'm not going to get involved.
But I'm not going to sign the petition to fire him either. I'm going to stay away from that as well. What I'm advocating for is to do whatever is in the best interest of the team. And what I'm really trying to say in my own snarky little nature is that Rich Gangarello, don't hit it. Don't play it. We don't have to overemphasize it. But he's on the bubble, dude. He's on the bubble. He knows it. The players know it. The other coaches know it. Everybody knows it. So without trying, because it sounds like I want him to be fired. I don't necessarily want him to be fired. But the reality of the situation, Nick, is that there's a lot on the line for him over these next four games. Is that a more reasonable way to put it?
Yeah, it is. But I want to bring a little more clarity to it once again. That it is, and you said it, it's a little unfair to put him in the crosshairs, right? Taking everything into account, and hopefully...
But was it fair for Mike McCoy? Was it fair for Rick Dennison? Was it fair for Bill Musgrave?
No.
Was it fair for those guys?
No, it was never fair. And I'm glad that you brought those guys up because a lot of those guys were put in situations similar to Scangarello not having the right personnel.
I'll give you the most ridiculous one was Brock Olivo, who was scapegoated for all the terrible special teams play. Brock Olivo, he of the 22 Janos.
And Tom McMahon is safe.
No, Tom McMahon is definitely. Boy, Tom McMahon sounded like he was having a hard time today, man. That dude. Do we have a little Tom? Can we dig up Tom McMahon from today? Holy cow. No, he is on his last thread. He looks like he hasn't slept in about 3 weeks.
I mean, you would too if you're a special teams performing the way that they're performing.
Oh, if I was in charge of this special teams, I would sound and look like Tom McMahon. Tom McMahon is talking about eating late at... First of all, he told us he didn't see a football game because he was asleep at 8 o'clock at night. And today he told us he was eating so much at night. I mean, what is it, Coach? Are you going to sleep or are you... are you going to sleep at 8, waking up at 1 a.m.? We've all done it. We opened up that fridge at 1 a.m. Don't do it. Don't do it.
So would the food coma be the reason why he hasn't been able to put a proper
Did
game plan together?
Did you see Tom McMahon today? Holy cow. All right, I'm trying not to be mean. I'm trying not to be mean. That dude is stressed out. I mean, that guy is...
You would be if you're on this coaching staff...
Dude, he was actually trying to break down... Colby Wadman's plant leg. Like, if my life had deteriorated to the point where I had to worry about Colby Wadman's plant leg, you know.
If you're on this coach's staff.
Do me a favor.
You're stressed out. You're stressed out.
Man, oh, man. All right. When we come back, so that's my apology to... you know what? I'll stay away from the funeral dirge. Mm-hmm. Although I think it's funny, of course.
It's funny. You call that an apology.
And it's the truth. It is what's going on right now. Okay? So if there are changes, please don't be surprised. But I'm not rooting for it. I'm rooting for them to be competitive with Houston and Kansas City to beat Detroit and Oakland. How about that? Is that fair? Be competitive with Houston and KC. You can't put a stinker on the field against KC like you did earlier this year. And beat Detroit, who's terrible, and Oakland, who's, you know, a train wreck again this year. Is that fair?
No, it's not fair because...
That's not fair?
No, because...
Oh, come on, man. I thought that was a compromise.
No. I mean...
Wow, want Scangarello here no matter what?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
The reality of them being competitive in the next two games are what, from a percentage standpoint?
Hi! They've been competitive with a lot of good teams this year.
What is competitive? Give me a score.
One-score game. A game that goes down in the fourth quarter. A game that could be decided either way.
Not happened against Houston. Not happened against Kansas City.
What a downer. Our War Room giveaway. That's going to be competitive because you got to be caller 4 and 5 right now at 303-713-1043. Caller 4 and 5 right now. 303-713-1043. You will attend, and Brothers Barbecue is awesome, and you can attend and watch us yell at each other. How fun is that? Our prop bets, and I've been promised they're funny. We have, are they? Are we getting funny prop bets? Okay, that's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
All right, Fred, are we... With some prop bets going on here. Tyler's not here. Maybe, Richie, you could throw in your two cents as we go through these things. Tyler's off with his family and a bunch of fan listeners in Steamboat for the Fans Key Escape. First of several this year. I'm excited to host one in January, but good for Tyler. That being said, we're ready to roll. Richie, go ahead. What we got, Fred?
Drew Lock will secure the bag, whatever that means, over or under 1.5 times. Millennials.
Hi, Fred. I like Fred when his friend's funny.
He's grumpy.
Millennials. 1.5 times. Does he have 2 touchdown passes against the Texans?
I say he secured the bag twice. So I'm going to take the over.
I know what my score prediction of the game is, so I will say under. Richie, got, you know, 2 cents on this?
Yeah, I think he hits the over. I think he'll get 2. I don't think they'll both come in the first quarter like they did last week.
He's going to get 2 touchdown passes against the Texans, huh?
I think so.
They don't have a great defense. They're bad on third down. They're bad in the red zone.
Do you want to change?
And I think they're going to be chasing.
No, because I know what my final score is going to be, and I'm going to stick to that.
Richie, you're right. So. They're going to be chasing, so now you have to throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
go up, D-Mac.
Listen. Is anybody going to be surprised by 1 touchdown pass, 3 interceptions this week?
Why do you put...
Okay. I don't want to bum everybody
negative
out.
Negative Nancy. 3 all interceptions.
Right. All right, Fred, what do you got next? I'm on.
How many wind sprints will Deshaun Hamilton run Sunday? Sorry, Nick. No calculators allowed.
Wow. That means pass plays per target. Because he had an unbelievable stat line a couple weeks ago where he had 42 plays. He was on the field for 42 plays and did not have 1 target. Now, not all of those, obviously, some of those are blocking, right? They're not all pass plays. So you'd really have to go through it and see of those 42 times, how many pass plays was he actually out there for? Because that's just a pure wind sprint. That's all you're doing is you're getting some work in. I mean, with no targets. So I will say he is 15. Like 1 target per 15 wind sprints.
I'm going to go with a huge under because he dropped the 1 slant route in the Chargers game.
Well, but that wasn't the question. The question was, like, how many, like, wind sprints will he do per... times he's targeted, like how much of a workout he's getting for no other reason but
how
a
many
workout.
Routes is he going to run without getting targeted?
Right, I mean that's essentially
okay.
The question.
I'm going to say 15.
Well, the same as me, 1 out of 15.
Yes.
All right, Richie, you want
to first number that came to my head was 12, so I'm going to stick with that.
1 out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the real question is like, what is the issue with Juwan Winfrey? Like, why in the world isn't Juwan Winfrey getting a shot? They did draft him late, but they traded up for Juwan Winfrey. Juwan Winfrey looked great in training camp. He's an unbelievable athlete. What exactly are we waiting for here with Juwan Winfrey?
There could be something that we haven't been previewed
what?
To watching.
What could it be?
Maybe his route running is not as crisp.
How bad could it be?
And he can't remember the play.
Jeez.
You can't play if you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, man. All right, Fred, what do you got next?
How many DBs will get Suttoned on Sunday? That's right, fellas. It's a thing now.
See, we gotta need more clarity. Are we talking in, you know, touchdowns or just up the field routes?
Sutton, to me, would be the touchdown. Like when he makes a diving one-handed play or he high points a ball and takes a ball away. I mean, Sutton, to me, is when the quarterback closes his eyes, has a general idea of where Courtland Sutton's going to be and just puts it up. And Sutton just comes down with the ball. I'll say, and it was cornerbacks, I'll say two.
I would say three.
Three?
Yeah.
So he's going to embarrass everybody out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, three receptions. I mean, they're going to try to double him and take him out of the game plan. So he's going to have three opportunities.
That's when you would Sutton somebody.
Yeah, that's
you're
what
in
I'm
double
saying.
Coverage. All right, well, you can get two at the same time.
That's
yeah,
right,
there you
exactly.
Go. Richie got a...
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get double covered, so I think two is the floor. I'm going to stick with two, though. I don't know if he gets all three.
All right, next one, Fred.
How many snip? Excuse me for a second.
Oh, sure, Fred.
I told myself I wasn't going to get choked up, guys.
All right.
How many snaps will Juwan James feel ready to play Sunday?
Because we know now it's not physical, it's emotional and mental. By the way, Juwan James listed as questionable today.
Did he start with the starting team on, like,
yeah,
Wednesday?
Yeah, he's been the ones all week.
I told you it was going to happen.
Here's Fangio on Juwan James.
Just because, you know, the way he's talking there, you know, I just don't want to put him out there if he's not going to play good. So we'll see how he shows up tomorrow and Sunday.
Oh boy. What a disaster. Well, we know he's not going to play the whole game. How many offensive snaps are you going to get against Houston? 60 max? I'll put him down for 20 snaps.
I got him for 20 as well. What about you, Richie?
I said 18. I think it goes south early and just don't put him back in.
He's going to stub a toe.
That is really terrible because the last game he did play in, he was out there for 22 snaps. The real question is, will he be injured during the game? Can you get my air quotes? Will he be injured? Ah, my elbow. Rodney Dangerfield, the Caddyshack. Ah, my knee.
I'm telling you, he's waiting for someone to fall on him or touch him in a certain way so he could just bow out. I'm
well,
telling
this,
you.
Does he get injured in the game? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes. Richie's on your face.
I'll buy into the conspiracy.
Yes.
I say, yeah. They just He doesn't want to play. They just want to find an excuse to get rid of him.
I mean, it's almost worth watching the game by itself to see if that's going to happen.
That's what all I'm looking for, how many snaps Juwan James
I will
get.
Say no to just be a little bit of a contrarian there.
You know you want to say yes. You want to agree with us.
It's so tough, though, because... If he does, everybody's going to think he's making it up. I mean, nobody will believe that he's actually hurt. He will have to have video photographic evidence like Derek Wolfe had with his elbow. By the way, how long did you look at that picture? Did you see that one?
No, I didn't even look.
Oh, dude. And somebody was a jerk, and they doubled down with the Wolf picture, with the Chris Cooper picture, with his foot at a 90-degree angle from his... Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen Coop's foot? Oh, my God.
Now I want to see it now.
Which one, Derek or Coop?
I want to see both.
Dude, it's easy to find. The internet's awesome with like pictures we shouldn't see.
I'm going to look it up.
Oh, they're both repulsive. But I was like, hey, you think that's bad? Look at this. And there's Chris Cooper's, you know, foot at a freaking 90-degree angle. It's like, oh, my God.
Does it look that disgusting?
Aaron Ralston thought it was gross. Anybody? Nobody? Guy who cut his arm off, who was cut 120
hours? Oh, the 127 hours.
There you go.
Okay.
Next, last one there, Fred. What do you got?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how aggressive will Rich skate? I mean, he who shall not be named be, fellas.
Wow, is that what we're doing now?
What's the question? I got distracted there. What, one more time, Fred.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
How aggressive will Rich skate? Okay. I mean, he who shall not be named be, fellas.
That's a good question, Fred. You're facing a team that is not very good defensively. The weakest part, they don't have a great pass rush. They miss J.J. Watt. Their secondary gives up a ton of yards. They are one of the worst teams on third down and in the red zone. I mean, to me, this screams taking multiple shots. This screams ultra aggressive. But the question, that's not the question. The question is, how will Rich, I can say his name now, we don't have to worry about it, Rich Gangarello, how aggressive will he be? Which really, when you dig deeper, is how aggressive will he be allowed to be, right?
Allowed. I think that's the more that's important the word.
Six. I just don't think they can help their nature. And God forbid if the Broncos are winning like 10-3. Oh, my God. That's like, that'll be the worst thing for them. Yeah, I mean, that'll be, whoa. We're winning. And by the way, look how good the Broncos have been right off the bat in so many of these games. In the scripted first 15 plays in the first quarter. I mean, look how good they've been. I mean, Brandon Allen was beating the Vikings on the road 20-0. I mean, seriously, would any of us be surprised if it was 13-3 halfway through the second quarter? I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm going to put my number at six. Take six shots. I mean, you're playing with a rookie quarterback. They don't have that much film to go on. And we know he can throw the ball down the field vertically. And the second.
So you don't think he'll be that six being aggressive?
Like, yes.
Six out of ten would be the most aggressive.
Yes.
All right. Rich, good.
I started.
Nick's agreeing with me a lot here. We got a lot of the same things here.
I started with a five. I was just gonna like ride the middle there, but I scratched it out and put seven because I'm trying to will it into existence that they should take advantage of this. So I'm gonna say seven.
It should be like a 8 or a 9. It should be very aggressive.
Don't be surprised if the first snap or the first possession is a shot down the field. Why not? What do you have to lose?
You back the
Texans defense off thinking, okay, well, this kid's going to throw, and then you run all underneath routes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, why not? Go for it. I mean, and the safest play you can have is just a go route to Cortland Sutton. I mean, it's going to be pass interference. The odds of it being intercepted are low, and even if it does get picked, if it's a deep shot.
It's like a punt.
It is like a punt. So, yeah, the first play of the game, that would be, you know, disappointing.
If they were to go Spinal Tap and just break the dial and turn it to 11, I wouldn't even be disappointed. Even if they're behind, at least they're trying.
Yeah. All right, it's 5 o'clock. Here we go. It's KKFN. KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. Woo! Go for it.
Stand up and shine!
If you're going to beat the Texans, this is how you got to do it. Let Drew Lock play.
Unlock the lock. Unlock the lock. Unlock the lock. Come on!
Lock with the end zone for Sutton. And the diving attempt. Did he get it? Touchdown! What a catch! The first NFL touchdown for Drew Lock. And his parents love it in Denver.
Lock. End zone.
Touchdown! Number two for Sutton.
Lindsay of 1,000 yard rush season. The fake to Lindsay who offers a block and downfield, and he's got feet. The rookie tight end.
You like that? You like that?
Well, I need to start being the face of these guys around here, especially in the huddle, being able to show them a little bit more of me as a leader. They saw a little bit of my confidence last week.
Lindsay hands off to Sutton, blocked by Fant, wants to throw downfield and caught! What a catch by Patrick! A 38-yard completion, a first down for Denver at the 31. Second down 13, blocking there by Dozier, blocked by Reef, and they come up the middle again, and Shelby Harris got at the quarterback for his second sack today, the third by the Bronco defense.
Now he's shaking up the knees!
sack. Draymond Jones, the rookie out of Ohio State, fourth Denver sack today.
Not two, not three.
Throat! Kick it over here, baby pop! And let all the fly skimmers feel the beat!
Yeah.
Drew Lock?
Yeah, there's no doubt that those guys are vanilla bean ice cream and Drew's Neapolitan.
In this season that we haven't had very many moments of which we could say, hey, I'm proud to be a right. Broncos fan.
Right.
You owed it to the fans to give them something.
Going deep, and he's looking for the double team. Sutton's got the ball. What a catch. Betrode takes it to the 32. What a catch by Sutton.
Work on some tackling drills right now.
Take that for that.
Sure. You want to tackle me? I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Hey, props to Richie for that, man.
Buddy. Love it.
I'm all fired up.
I love it. You know, at the end of the week, and we really appreciate you listening. At the end of the week, all you want something to do is you know, look forward to something on the weekend. Give me something to eat. You know, Drew Lock is something to believe in. He is.
When was the last time Broncos fans actually had that? Did we have to go as far as back as Peyton Manning?
Well, it just never felt like, you know, hey, everybody, it's Joe Flacco. Give me something to eat. No. Hey, everybody, it's Brandon Allen. Give me something to eat. No. Hey, it's Tom Brady! Yeah! Hell yeah! Now, why would I bring up Tom Brady? First, before we get why I would bring up Tom Brady, our score prediction, I mean, we're all excited here, but we got to get back to reality a little bit. I'm going to get to Tom Brady. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Nick, what is your prediction for the game?
My prediction score is 28-17, and let me tell you how I got there.
Perfect.
Tim Patrick is going to get a touchdown because Cortland Sutton is going to see double-team the entire game.
All right.
Now, because this Texas defense has allowed opposing tight ends to have, you know, maybe 8 or 9 targets, this is where North Fant lives up to that first-round billing, and he notches a touchdown as well.
Mm.
To finish it off,
okay,
Brandon McManus kicks a 42-yard field goal. 17 points for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, you got to give him up 4 touchdowns.
Hey, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what do you have?
I have it 30-10 Texans.
Okay.
I wish I had better news, and I don't see it as all that close of a game, you know, coming up to that point. Texans are one of the best teams in the league. They got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Their defense isn't all that good, but is it a game they could be sleeping on the Broncos? Hey, man, I'll give you this any given Sunday. I will never, ever be surprised if the Broncos can be competitive. I'll tell you this. A couple years ago with BJ's 5-11 team, just being competitive was a struggle for those fellas, okay? I mean, that was a season of utter embarrassment. This team is not like that.
There's a potential that you can catch the Texans sleeping. They just beat the Patriots. After the Broncos, they have the Titans who are nipping at their heels. They can overlook the Broncos. Looking forward to the Titans.
The Broncos have had 2 really bad games this year, the Bills and the Chiefs. But those are the only two, like, bad games. Those were only the two embarrassing games, okay? The other six losses were, you know, relatively close. They were in it. You know, it was something interesting. And, you know, they pulled out four wins, too. So, like, you're hearing Jerry Jones, I mean, react. I mean, here was Jerry Jones on his own radio station, on state-sponsored radio in Dallas. It sounded like this.
Jerry, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Morning.
Morning to you. All right, Jerry, you come on every week, win or lose. You answer questions. You know the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself, okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I haven't been embarrassed. Well, the Bills game was tough. All right, I shouldn't say never. That was a little embarrassing. But I'm not, in general, I'm not embarrassed by this team, Nick. I'm not. I was a couple years ago with VJ, that 5-11. That actually was embarrassing.
So what changes your tone from going from VJ to Vance? I mean, Vic Fangio.
It was just an unmitigated mess. They lost eight games in a row. They were losing by double digits left and right. There was a element of just utter confusion from the start of the game to the end. There is confusion with the Broncos, unfortunately, and it has to do with game management and communication amongst the coaches. But we all expected that, to be fair. We all expected a first-time offensive coordinator working with a first-time head coach, a head coach who had not coached from the sidelines, but one of 30 years of his coaching. We all expected there to be issues in that. You ultimately want your head coach to be a game management expert. If he's repping anything, it should be these type of situations over and over and over again. He is the chess master. He is the one that has to make these decisions. He should be your analytics diva. He should be the one connected to everything on this level. If he's studying anything, it should be those types of situations. And that's just not who Fangio has been. So I'm not surprised it's an issue. With VJ, it was just, it was ridiculous. It was embarrassing.
But the reason it was embarrassing, D-Mac, was because he was never given that much power or authority.
I mean, it was embarrassing for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, when you go to the podium and you're fielding questions about T.J. Ward and you don't know the team has already traded him, I mean, the communication isn't there.
And that's a good example.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
And I think more
people
respect Fangio more than they respected, you know, Vance as a first-time head coach.
Who's a lot of people?
Well, the players in the locker room.
Of course. Yes, I think the players respect, I mean, this is a low bar, but I'll go there. The players respect Fangio more than VJ, yes. But I mean, so what?
But that's where it starts, though. If you, for some reason as a player, lose respect for your coach, you're going to go out there and start doing your own thing, like Von Miller jumping off sides, right? Why? Because he's trying to get his stats, because he doesn't believe that, you know, fans is going to reprimand him for it. I mean, you're not going to do that under Fangio's watch. That's not going to happen.
I know they had a Halloween party they didn't have this year.
There you go.
I mean, if you do respect your coach and the organization, it's pretty simple when you're about to do something to say, what would... Could I do this, what I'm about to do, and my coach, my organization would be okay with it?
That's a question that, like, you asked.
I'm Brandon Marshall. I'm going to dress up like Bobby Brown with a little cocaine dripping out, but looks like cocaine. And I'm going to walk around with a baggie at a Halloween party. If I put this outfit in front of my coach, would they really be okay with me being photographed and being on social media with this? And you know what's scary? You know what's really scary? VJ probably would have been like, ah, that's fine. That's okay. It's funny.
You really think he would have thought that?
That's what he said.
Wow.
I mean, unless he was just lying. I mean, he was asked about it last year. That's what he said.
Well, they say attitude reflects leadership, for sure.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple thing. You know, pick anybody in your life that you respect, that you have a lot of respect for.
Bill Parcells.
Okay? Whoever it is for you. And then think about whatever action you're about to do. would that be okay for the person that you respect? And if the answer is no, why are you doing it? Or don't name that as the person that you care to have respect for. Pick somebody else.
But once again, it goes back to the fact that the guys really didn't have a lot of respect for Vance based on some of the things he said in the media, which were his own fault. And then also you're looking at upper management and how they deal with some of the personnel decisions.
Right. If you look at the behavior and some of the decisions upper management's been part of, what they have said is okay over the years. I mean, that's where things start. When you have an ownership situation that is a mess and they can't get their act together. Seriously, dude, what kind of message do you think that puts down the line? When John Elway, right-hand man, got in the trouble he got into and he's still around, what kind of overall message does that send down? When you hire VJ and he had the things in his past, what kind of message does that send when you bring on Pac-Man Jones and that's okay?
It's been all about accountability. And the issues that you bring up now, when you don't hold the people who are in charge to a higher standard, how can you look to put that type of standard on the players?
And I tell you what made a difference here. Been covering this team here for 21 years. I was more of a fan when I was in third grade in Mrs. Stanko's class in Steamboat Springs. More of a fan.
Not really, Stanko!
Not really covering the team with Stanko. But I know when Peyton Manning was here, there was a sense of accountability that he brought to everybody, whether you liked it or not.
It's called fear.
There's no doubt about it. He put fear into people. He put fear into the coaches to be prepared. He used to have photocopies of who leads the league in drops that he would place in Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas's locker. I saw with my own two eyes, got after Jacob Tammy during a walk-through practice on a Friday when Tammy dropped a ball when they're going like 20%. Saw him chew out Tammy, a guy he would had a long history with. There was an accountability because at the end of the day, you had to look at Peyton Manning and be okay with whatever you were doing. Well, you had to answer to that guy. And not only him,
yeah,
but you had to answer to DeMarcus Ware, too, who was the other major leader. You had to, whatever you were doing, it had to be more or less, would DeMarcus Ware think this is okay?
But see, you're talking about two things that I don't believe that are currently in place with this team. You know, having veteran leadership that's going to step to the plate and snatch some collars and get some guys to do the right things. And, you know, I mean, you have a lot of high character guys, but you don't have guys who are going to strike the fear that Peyton did with a lot of players. I mean, I've talked to some offensive linemen that used to play with him, and they were fearful game day and practice of making a mistake.
It made guys better. It's kind of an uptight way to run things. It's not the only way to be successful, but it worked. And in the short term, I always thought this was long term, but there is a short term solution. And Peter King on WEEI in Boston. I want you to listen to this. Peter King, the most reputable NFL reporter in America. Above Adam. Adam's great. Peter King's on a different level. Said this about Tom Brady on WEEI in Boston today.
I think the one other team that would be interesting to monitor, you know, with Brady, would be the Denver Broncos, at least early on in the process, for a very simple reason that, you know, whether Drew Lock is going to be their long-term guy, it's apparent that they've semi-soured on Joe Flacco, and he didn't play very well when he was healthy. For Denver, and John Elway needs to win right now. And so
I want you to listen to this again. This is the key sentence right here.
For Denver, and John Elway needs to win right now. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I've heard, you know, when there have been some discussions about, well, would the Bears be interested with Trubisky struggling so much? I guess never say never, but the first two teams I would think of right now would be the Chargers and the Broncos.
Now, I do have the Drew Lock 37-game dictum. And a dictum is a pronouncement. If you don't understand the word dictum, and your head just went to the gutter. But the 37-game dictum states, no matter where you're drafted, if you're going to be the guy, you need to play at least 2 full years, and you need to be treated as if you were the first-round guy. Or what are we doing? Any chance to develop is going to involve not one, but 2 full years of play, and I'm tacking on 5 games because that's what Drew Lock essentially will get. Or else it'd be the 32-game dictum. But you need 2 full years, and I don't make that number up out of thin air, Nick. I mean, we have seen Peyton Manning struggle in his first year. John Elway be benched. Troy Aikman struggle in his first year. We have seen plenty of quarterbacks struggle. We see it right now that, you know, Kyler Murray doesn't have a winning record. You got to stick with him. Mitch Trubisky, maybe just a late bloomer. Who knows? Certainly looked pretty good last night. Ryan Tannehill is kind of blooming a little bit late. Taking Josh Allen time to get going. Certainly Lamar Jackson, you know, who now is, you know, going to be the MVP of the league. That's what Drew Lock needs and deserves if he really is part. He needs 37 games. That's not just a crazy, wacky number. You drafted him in the second round. You don't have a fifth-year option. You will have to make a decision on the future of Drew Lock, and you don't, Nick, want your quarterback, if you believe in him, to go to free agency.
No, you don't, but there's a lot of things you said in all of that. And the first thing speaks to the fact of consistency, keeping Rich Gangarello around, because the guys...
I didn't say that.
Well, no,
you don't put words. I never said that.
Well, that, to me, that's what you're kind of alluding to.
No.
You're talking about consistency.
I'm talking about a plan at quarterback.
Right.
I'm for consistency, but that's not what I was saying there.
Okay, so you look at, you know, Kyler Murray and his situation in Arizona.
Yeah, he didn't get consistency. They blew everybody out and then brought him in.
That's right. And we watched the Arizona Cardinals when Josh Allen was there.
Josh Rosen,
fired Coach Wilkes after 1 season, right?
Yeah,
stupid.
Right.
But now with Kyler Murray, because even though they're not performing well, you're going to keep Kingsbury around.
Of course you are.
You look at Lamar Jackson, who you mentioned, right? Greg Roman changed the game plan in the offseason. Right.
But get to the bigger point, which is basically Tom Brady. For example, if you brought Tom Brady in, okay, as Peter King suggests could happen, that's not me making it up, it's Peter King. I'm okay with making other changes in the offensive coaching staff to suit Tom Brady. I'm more likely to say keep your current coaching staff intact if we're just moving on with Drew Lock. If you get Tom Brady, what will it take for Tom Brady to be happy here? Now, I know what happened when Manning got here. Like, Manning loved Fox. You know why? Because he knew Fox.
Fox let him do whatever he wanted.
There you go. And then you got Gase and Mike McCoy. You don't think Manning loved that? It was perfect for him.
Okay, so Tom Brady comes in to Denver. You send Scangarello to offensive coordinator Exile Island, right? Who do you bring in that now will allow Tom Brady as offensive coordinator to do whatever he wants to do?
I don't know. I'll sit down and hash that out with Tom Brady. I don't know. Tom probably knows some people. We'll figure it out.
Well, I mean,
maybe it is Rich Gangarello. It could be.
It should be. I don't see why.
I don't know if it should be, Nick. I said it could be if Tom Brady was here. Don't get caught up on the little stuff. We're bringing Tom Brady here. Things are going to be awesome. Things are going to change massively. And the most important part of Peter King with what he said there was needs to win. He didn't say would like to win, Nick, did he? Why did Peter King say needs to win?
Because he, being Peter King, knows just as well as we know, John Elway only has 2 years, just like Joe Ellis, I think, has 2 years.
Correct.
So Tom Brady doesn't necessarily have to be the guy.
How many years does Tom Brady have?
That's the biggest question.
But
does he have 2 years?
What do you think?
I think Tom may have one year remaining. And that's with a team with all the pieces in the right place, a great defense,
but
offensive line, and wide receivers.
Here's the great deal. I'll tell you you're right. Okay? You're right. But I'm going to tell you what's perfect about this situation in the short term and the long term under that scenario. We'll do it next. I'd love to see your feedback. Text line 303-713-1043, but your calls as well, 303-713-1043. What would you feel, how would you feel, if Tom Brady, as suggested by Peter King, was the Broncos quarterback next year? It's the Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.